This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 6 o'clock. Please stay tuned for So What's Your Story with Dr. Hank Rubicek and student co-host Raven Pollard. Their guest storyteller is Jared. And the theme for today's program is Date Night.
Early Monday morning, and you're in a cool place that will help make everything today seem right. Because you've tuned into So What's Your Story on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1. We are your hosts, Raven Pollard and me, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication at the University of Houston downtown. So What's Your Story puts the spotlight on soul-inspiring tellers, both pros and newbies, some of whom could be you, who engage us with revealing personal stories and beloved folk tales by taking us, alluring us, on enchanted journeys and then returning us safely to the present. You know, personal narratives validate our lives. We tell our stories to others and reap the benefits that come from engaging those listeners. Stories about who we are and where we've been, regardless of the roadmaps we've taken, enhance the lives of those fortunate enough to hear them. We get people to cry, laugh, wonder, and whatever we get to feel, they feel because they are humans and because we remind them just of that. Now, this morning, we're going to get simple and have some fun with stories about date night. Now, our disclosures may not be as dramatic as the movie Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey, but they may be close enough to keep you from tuning out. Two guest tellers, one of whom is my co-host, Raven Pollard, are seated to my in the studio. And, Raven, this date night theme is sort of your idea. But what gave you this idea? What was the big deal about date night?
I decided to put date night because a lot of our listeners can relate. Whether it's from experiencing the best, most romantic date of your life to the most awful disaster day.
Yeah, they're mostly awful, aren't they? Aren't they mostly awful?
Definitely.
Yes. I mean, after all, if they were all wonderful, we'd be married to 1,000 people.
Uh-huh. And right. Everyone has a story. So what's your story?
Now, Jared, you are here because you were sort of lassoed into your storytelling class, right? The one that you took, and I bribed you. Isn't that right?
I was informed I would get a cold sore.
Okay. Now, you were born in Salt Lake City?
Yes.
And you came to Houston because you thought, what, to be the...
I came for school and...
That's exciting.
Better job opportunities.
You want to be a government teacher?
That is correct.
Okay. What gets you interested in
government? I've always been interested in politics, and ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah, and you told me earlier before the show that you watched the debate between Clinton and Bush, and that somehow got you interested?
I was watching it with my father when I was a little kid, and it was just fascinating to me, even though I had no clue what was going on.
And that's what I was looking for. That's exactly why you'll be great in government, because nobody really has a clue what they're doing.
No.
So why should you be any different?
Just be one.
And you said that so well. And that's all that really matters, right?
Right.
Okay, now... Yeah, you became interested in government for a lot of reasons, and of course now you made it very clear to us that you don't mind us telling that our listeners that you're gay. Right?
No, not at all.
And you have some interesting stories about your own dating experience.
That I do.
One in particular.
Yes.
So what's your story?
I think Meatloaf said it best when, "I will do anything for love, but I won't do that." I'd been single for about 5 months, and in that 5 months of loneliness, I had gained quite a bit of weight. It got so bad that the boys no longer hollered at my Dunka Dunka. And like many sad, lonely people, I started to collect cats. And worst of all, my only human interaction was through the McDonald's drive-thru. It was safe to say that I was in a bit of a rut. Till one day, I was having lunch with my friend, Amanda. She was kind of like my sassy gay friend who just happened to have a woo-hoo. And we are having lunch at Whataburger, having a delicious chicken sandwich, and she starts to talk. "Jared, it's been about 5-6 months since Job has left you to go teach about Jesus in Africa. I think," and I interrupt her mid-sentence, you're right. "I need to get back out on the dating scene." She's like, "No, oh no, honey, you are a fat mess right now. You couldn't find love at a truck stop." It hurt for me to hear this, but she was right. I had let myself go when I was very overweight. So, against the advisement of my doctor, I decided to go on the cigarette and Diet Coke diet. After several weeks, the weight started to fall off. I started to look good again, and most importantly, my Dunka Dunka never looked better. I was ready to get back on the dating scene. But I was always a socially awkward person, so I never did well in the club or bar scene, so I once again go to my friend Amanda for some advice. And she advises that I try OkCupid. It's an online dating site where, in fact, she had met her gentleman friend.
What was the name of that again?
OkCupid.
Okay.
I created a profile, and after several weeks, I kind of hit it off with this guy named Jake. We spent quite a bit of time talking on Skype, so we decided I'd go over to his area and we'd go get some ice cream. So I drive on over and ding his doorbell, and he comes out. And the first thing that I notice is how horrid his teeth were. I'm not a shallow person, but I was just simply amazed that he was able to hide this in all of our conversations on Skype. So, like I said, Mom didn't raise no shallow boy, so we continued on our date to the ice cream parlor. But that's when it gets really bad. He starts to become extremely clingy, call me babe, honey, and making plans for future dates, even though our first one has yet to begun. So we finally get there, and I'm enjoying a vanilla. I'm thinking to myself, this guy's crazy, so I need to end it. So I go home, look, I have school early morning. I think we should, and he starts to cry. I thought we'd at least go see a movie. And to avoid creating a scene, like, yeah, let's go see a movie. So we hop in my car again, and we head to the movie theater. Everything seems to be calm. Before the movie starts, he's rambling on about some sort of Pokemon stuff. Then the trailers start. The first few that go by are fine. Then the Tom Cruise trailer for Rock of Ages begins, and he has this orgasmic experience, starts screaming, oh, my God, it's Tom Cruise, it's Tom Cruise. People are staring at us, shushing us, and it keeps on getting louder and louder, clapping like a trained seal. And it gets so bad that this huge muscular man in front of us stands up and looks at us, but then Jake yells at him, sit down, I can't see Tom Cruise. And to my amazement, this guy sits down, even though he was like half the size. And finally the trailer ends, and Jake whispers in my ear, I think we should go see that sometime. I'm like, yeah, I think we should. And I whisper to him, I'm like, I think I'm going to go get a cold pop. And I walk out the theater and head into my car and start heading home. And as I'm heading home, the song that's playing is, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Perfect. All right. That was great.
Wow.
That was wonderful.
That was
I love that story. I love that story. Yeah. Yeah.
It's clear that both gay and straight daters experience, like, perfect, not so perfect rendezvous. So, date night on So What's Your Story, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston. I'm your host, Raven Pollard, with Dr. Hank Rubicek a few feet away, doing everything he can to make me nervous, and also our guest storyteller, Jared Dirtschke. Okay, so Jared, I don't want to pry, but what was it like being gay in Salt Lake City?
Oh, it's a very conservative city.
Yeah, that's a pretty direct question. That'll pretty much work.
It was a conservative.
I don't want to pry. Yes, we do want to pry, actually. Yeah. That's why we all want to pry. The entire world wants to know.
It is a conservative city, but the Mormons are very nice people, although not everyone in Utah is Mormon. It's a majority. But, like I said, it is a very conservative city.
Well, you're Mormon.
That is correct.
Yeah. How do you feel about being Mormon and gay? Is there some sort of contradiction going on?
Right. Like in any Christian religion, most have, especially the Mormons, have a pretty strong stance against being gay. But the church has loosened up its stance on that.
Yeah, well, look, here, I've got some fun data for you.
Okay.
All right, this will make everybody, usually I bring in some intellectual stuff, but nobody cares about that stuff anyway. So I just thought I'd bring in a few interesting little tidbits about dating. Okay, here we go. This is what scholars do. Now, first of all, the person on a typical average site spends about $239 a year. The average revenue from the online dating industry, check this out, $1.49 billion, that's with the B dollars, okay? There are a total number of 54 million people, 54 single people in the United States, just want to get this right, and the total number of people in the United States who have tried online dating, 42 million of the 54 million, amazing. Total eHarmony members, 20 million. Total Match.com members, 15 million. Of course, eHarmony, we can understand why they have a little bit of the edge, because wouldn't you like to fall in love with someone who really knows who you are? Right? We all know what that line is. We all know that. Good. Now, here are a few little fun little jokes about dating, because after all, it's Monday morning. We have to start the week off right. All right. He says, come on, don't be shy, ask me out. And she says, okay, go out. He says, I think I can make you very happy. And she says, why, are you leaving? He says, has anyone asked you to dance? And she says, no, I'm free. And he says, then please hold my beer. Now, sometimes we even have love within subjects and disciplines. Doesn't have to be a person. For example, dear math, M-A-T-H, I'm sick and tired of trying to find your ex. Just accept the fact that she's gone and move on. See, there you go. So you see, love doesn't just only have to, absolutely. Relationships begin with, can we talk? And it ends with, we need to talk. He says, do you think my salary is sufficient? And she says, yes, but how are you going to survive? I don't have a girlfriend, but I do have a woman who's mad at me for saying that. I'm dating a homeless woman. It would be easier taking her home. That's why. Okay, good. I have bad luck with women. A woman I was dating told me on the phone, I've got to go. There's a telemarketer on the other line. I hate first dates. I made the mistake of telling my first date a lie about myself, and she caught me. I didn't know she would actually ask me to show her the Batcave. Okay, so yeah. Why do people lie on dates? What's the problem? What do they do? You met this guy who lied, didn't he? He lied to you.
Well, he just hit his teeth very well.
Okay, he
and
hit his
crazy.
Well. Right, right. So, but what else did he do? I mean, he amplified things, didn't he?
Yes.
He just kind of said something. But what did he claim to be? Personality-wise.
I mean, like, he didn't claim to be anything. He just portrayed himself to be a very normal person over our conversations. Then, like, when we met, he was quite crazy.
Really? He was quite crazy, yeah. You know, I've had a lot of very peculiar dating situations. Sometimes I feel that I've dated every single woman between the ages of 42 and 60. It's not fun. However, my wife is a flawless human being, because I know she's listening, and I have to say that because it's honestly true. Okay. But, you know, one time I remember looking at a photograph online, which is what we do. After all, photographs mm-hmm. are supposed to be good visual representations of what a person is supposed to look like, right?
Right.
Gives us an idea of a person. And I walk into a bar looking for this individual. Now, I'm not Ray Charles. I've got eyes. I know exactly what I'm looking for. And I'm looking around, and she's not there. I figure, oh, I'm stood up. On my way out of the bar, I hear, psst, psst. And I'm looking around, and I see this person trying to wave me down who looked nothing. She was the antithesis, the opposite side of the continuum of what I saw online. This is an individual who, let's just say she was larger than that person, right?
More fun.
You know, well, her name was Gail, and she looked like she ate Gail. And then
wow.
She was very large. And she was totally unrecognizable. And the first thing she said to me was, well, if I would have told you who I was or given you an adequate photograph, you wouldn't have wanted to meet me. And I said, well, I can tell you this. I really don't want to meet a liar. And you really were very nice online and on the phone. And frankly, I may have. So lying doesn't get you too far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get you too far at all. 105 to 110. My God, that sounds so refreshing, doesn't it? It just sounds so refreshing. Now, Raven, you wrote a story for the show.
I did.
It's a true dating story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
True dating story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you've experienced fairly recently?
Yeah, it's
okay,
very,
right.
It's very fairly recent.
You seem pretty excited about it. So what's your story?
Okay. Have you ever heard the saying, girls and guys can't be friends, or only girls can just be friends with guys? Well, let me tell you, I missed all the signs and ruined the best date of my life. Min was a quirky guy, and by quirky I mean I've completed all levels of Dungeons and Dragons and a new hobby, quirky. And he chose roller skating. One Wednesday morning, my job decided to be turtle slow, so I did what any bored employee would do. I began to wander and chime in and out of random conversations until one was interesting enough to make me stay. With no such luck, I overheard Min talking to one of his coworkers about a great time he had with his friend Mel, a server at my job. So before I started on my way to Min's conversation, I looked both ways before crossing the kitchen doors, just a precaution to avoid plate and face. When I reached men standing around 6 feet tall, he looked down at me standing a whopping 5'3", and said, "What's up?" "Oh, nothing, just bored," I replied. Apparently, I had gotten there a little too late because men was concluding his story, but I heard the gist. Just getting out of my on-again, mostly off-again relationship with my boyfriend, fun was what I needed. So before I knew it, men and I set up a date to go riding on his motorcycle. The big day had arrived, and men was waiting for me outside on his motorcycle. When I walked outside, I instantly felt a jolt of nervousness because I'd never been on a motorcycle before, and I knew my dad would freak out if he saw me. So before this quest was terminated, I took a deep breath, slipped on men's snug-fitting helmet, and literally rode off into the sunset. We had been riding for almost 20 minutes and reached an unfamiliar place called Area 21. I had never been there before, so I was super excited to see what was on the inside. When we made it in, there were indoor go-kart racing, laser tag, and other fun activities. We simultaneously chose laser tag because the lines for the go-kart racing were way too long. In the laser tag room, they were filled with hundreds, maybe thousands, of black neon lights in different colors. I felt like I was in space. Spending about an hour battling other groups and having an amazing time, men said, "We should go. I don't want to be late for our reservations." I said, "Oh, okay." Men started walking in front of me. He couldn't see my eyes as they got bigger, and I mumbled under my breath, "Reservation?" And did he? Couldn't be. So I put on my helmet and threw my leg over men's bike and rode off into the night. We reached a restaurant called Peli Peli in Vintage Park. Men opened the door for me, waited until I was seated to sit down. He was the perfect gentleman. The ambiance in Peli Peli was gorgeous with soft lighting. We ate and had amazing conversation. I said something I now regret, because it turned our amazing night into something awkward. I said, "This isn't a date, is it?" I could see men's emotions shift, and I wanted to eat my words. He replied by saying, "I thought it was." When we finished in silence. I was so angry at myself for not knowing. I mean, how could I not know? I was so confused. I finally made it back home and called men on the phone, and he didn't answer. We saw each other a couple days later at work. I said, "Hey, I called you." He replied by saying, "Sorry, I needed time to think." As the days went by, we talked slightly. It wasn't the same. I wanted nothing more to get that moment back, the moment before I opened my big mouth. But it was gone, blowing in the wind, the motorcycle made on our beautiful date night.
Beautiful story. That was really a very, very beautiful story.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Kind of rare, huh? Let's talk about courtship. What happens to courtship lately, right? Because there's not a whole lot of, it kind of disappears, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do people just not date the way they used to?
I don't know. I wish they would, but it was so rare for him to open the door, and everything was perfect.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Kind of gentlemanly, right?
Mm-hmm.
What makes a great conversation? You were talking about you had a great conversation. What makes that great conversation?
It was just random. It was no awkward moments. We just, mm-hmm. it was fluent, and we just had a great time. I don't really know. It's just something that just happens.
Yeah.
Well,
someone once told me that a great conversation is when you're incredibly comfortable with silence.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some truth to that, you know. And one of the things that I love listening to and talking about is, you know, when I teach an interpersonal communication class, for example, there's a very important unit in there on dating. In a way, we talk about courtship behavior, but a real significant part of that is how to give signs that you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Most people really don't know how to listen. You know, the data is rock solid. We know that if you're a good listener, you listen at about 14-20% accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that means if you're given a body of information and you're asked to synthesize it and do something with it, I mean apply it, you'd really only remember about 14-20% of it. And that's if you're good, and there's a lot of reasons for that. A good listener asks questions based on the response you just heard. I mean, wouldn't that be nice if you're on a date and somebody asks a question based on what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Without having a question in their mind. You know, we're so concerned sometimes about selling ourselves, which I've always found to be peculiar on a date, because dating is sort of like looking for a job. You know, when you go on enough dates, you're asking the same questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do, and where'd you go to school, and where do you live, and what do you like, and what was your favorite movie, and what's your favorite color of an M&M? I mean, do we really care? Sometimes we do, but we don't necessarily give signs that we're listening. What do you think?
If they like a blue M&M, it's
a no-go. I should have known that. Yeah. But your story was really about courtship. It really was.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference about our sexual orientation. Courtship should be a good thing. It should be a nice experience. Even if you don't like the person, it should be a worthwhile learning experience. What do you think?
Yeah, some of my funnest dates have been people who I quite frankly didn't find attractive and knew there wouldn't be a second date, but it was a fun date.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, date night, okay, date night with Raven Pollard and me, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and you are tuned into So What's Your Story with guest teller Jared Durche on KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville, and 90.3 in Livingston. You know, these opinions about dates are important, but dating really is a critical activity. You know, it's an opportunity to get us to realize that it's important to have some companionship. And I think it's important to understand what constitutes really, really a good friendship first, because friendship rules, doesn't it? If you had to think about the ingredients of a good friend, just a good friend, forget about dating, but a good friend, what would that be, Jared?
I'm always there for you, someone you can talk to, and a funny person.
A funny person? Yeah? Yeah? What about you? What about you, Raven? What do you think?
I co-sign what Jared said. You definitely have to have someone that's there for you and want someone to a shoulder to lean on. Sometimes you can't always go to your parents with certain situations.
Yeah, who wants to do that at all? Go to your parents? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I recently asked a friend about her dating experience, and she said, "I have such poor vision. I can date anybody." Haha. Are you supposed to laugh at that? Everybody out there laughing? Everybody have enough coffee? Okay. Reminds me of the matchmaker in Fiddler on the Roof. You did see Fiddler on the Roof. If you haven't, lied to me. Raven, you look at me like, what is that? You've never seen Fiddler on the Roof?
I haven't.
Are you absolutely serious?
I'm sorry. You're fired.
Okay, you're not earning any money, but you're fired anyway. Okay. Well, a father in Fiddler on the Roof, it's really a wonderful, wonderful play. And there's a father in there who retains a matchmaker, a yenta, a matchmaker, and says to the matchmaker, that's who you want my son to marry? I mean, she can hardly see. And she answers, have you seen your son? He's not a great looker. He's not. So with his looks and her vision, they're absolutely a perfect match. You've never heard that? Are you kidding? Unbelievable. How old are you? What does it matter with you folks? Okay. Well, maybe lacking a sense is really the answer. Like vision or hearing is the key to successful dating. I don't know. I think it is with the elderly. A student once shared, my grandmother is 90 and he is 93. It's going great because they never argue. They can't hear each other. Now, I know, looking at the two of you and Laura and everybody else, I know that no one has to worry about their stand-up comedy career, right? No one has to worry about that. Okay. Well, I'll turn it back to Raven. Go ahead. Have you got any good jokes for us this morning?
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm apparently not. Yeah.
Comedy, maybe not, but this show, KPFT Summer Fun Drive, kicks off August 10th, so please donate what you can to keep this very special, commercial-free, listener-sponsored station alive. And also, So What's Your Story? Next Monday morning, August 12th, is your time to help. So What's Your Story stay on the air. Lauren Marcella and I will be filling in for Dr. Hank, and we need your support. So please help So What's Your Story by calling in to 713-526-4000 and donating Monday, August 12th.
Great. Very good. Yeah, storytelling really is an essential way to build community and sustain relationships with each other. You know, so many of the themes in which we're engaged every week do deal with relationships, because storytelling is all about relationships when you think about it. Every story that we have, at least personal stories, come from personal narratives, because after all, when we don't have these personal narratives for which we can draw, what are we going to talk about, right? We have to be able to interact. We have to be able to draw from the comedy and the humor and the suspense and intrigue that we experience each and every day. Raven, And you and Lauren, by the way, will be doing a great job next week. And they will be here to help keep So What's Your Story alive,
mm-hmm.
as well as all of your favorite KPFT programs, an eclectic group that is, and bedtime stories to our children, ghost stories at Halloween, love stories at Valentine's Day, and the personal stories to which I just referred really do change our lives. So make sure that, again, you listen in next week and make sure that you take advantage of the fun drive and help us all so that we can keep these stories about our relationships alive, and that is going to work. In the meantime, Jared, you're going to tell your friends about this thing next week, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're
going to
help us.
I'm going to tweet and Facebook it. My 30 friends.
And Facebook.
30 friends will maybe give a dollar.
Right.
Something.
If people want to be on the air, they want to tell a story, what are they going to do?
If you want to tell a story, just email ruby.story@gmail.com, and that's spelled ruby.story@gmail.com. And again, it's ruby.story@gmail.com. And if you want to be a guest on So What's Your Story, and we hope you do, just send your ideas and your or description to the email. Same email address.
Boy, this goes fast. Jared, thank you so much. And Raven, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for serving as co-host. And to all of you, make KPFT a part of your day every day. Today was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It really was.
Just a lot of fun.
Yes.
And join me every Monday at 6 a.m. next week with Raven and Lauren for the Fun Drive for So What's Your Story? And start your week off right and expect a smooth one to follow. I'm Dr. Hank Rubichek. And that's Raven Pollard over there, and Jared. We just want you all to be good to each other. And remember, it is never too late to live happily ever after.
Rain or shine. This is the station to listen to anytime. You're listening to Houston's very own listener-sponsored commercial-free radio. 90.1 FM KPFT. Houston, Galveston.